From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other soft information as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Panjaitan, appealed to the public to refrain from traveling abroad unless emergency in the wake of rampant transmission of COVID-19 Omicron variant in a number of countries. Until now, Indonesia has not detected cases of the new coronavirus variant. That is why Luhut asked the public to stay in the country, including for Christmas and New Year holidays. The deputy head of the COVID-19 Handling and National Economic Recovery Committee added, the government enforced the Community Activity Restrictions, or PPKM, in Java and Bali until January 3, 2022. The details will be regulated in the instructions of the Minister of Home Affairs. The Indonesian Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin on Tuesday said the government is prepared to start the national booster dose vaccinations against COVID-19 in early January 2022. In a House hearing on Tuesday, the Health Minister said booster vaccines must be accelerated considering the current dynamics in the global stage such as the Omicron, which spreads faster than the Delta variant. Even though the Omicron variant has yet to be detected in Indonesia, the government must remain vigilant. Senior citizens will be the main priority of the booster vaccination as they remain to be the most vulnerable population amid the threat of a fast-spreading coronavirus variant. The governments of Indonesia and the United States are committed to continuing to enhance concrete cooperation that is mutually beneficial and respectful. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi remarked while delivering a press statement with visiting U.S. State Secretary Antony Blinken in Jakarta on Tuesday, the United States is Indonesia's strategic partner. On the occasion, the two countries signed three memorandum of understanding in the fields of maritime affairs, education, and the Peace Corps program initiated by the U.S. to boost people-to-people contact. Blinken was on a visit to Indonesia on December 13 to the 14, aimed at affirming the Indonesia-U.S. strategic partnership and the importance of a free and open Indo-Pacific region. Now we move to the international news. Visiting U.S. State Secretary Antony J. Blinken avowed his country's commitment to intensifying security in the Indo-Pacific along with allies and partners. Blinken remarked while delivering an address at the University of Indonesia, Depok, West Java on Tuesday, the United States will adopt an integrated deterrence strategy that more closely weaves together all U.S. instruments of national power with those of U.S. allies and partners. Blinken I should say, Blinken noted, President Biden has told President Xi Jinping of China the two leaders share a profound responsibility to ensure that competition between both nations did not veer into conflict. The World Health Organization has warned that the latest variant of COVID-19 Omicron may be spreading across most of the nations in the world. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said in a virtual media briefing on Tuesday, the strain has been reported in 77 countries so far, but it may already exist in most others, even if it has been officially discovered. Ghebreyesus cautioned against being complacent on the severity of Omicron, saying even though it may seem less than other variants, it could overwhelm unprepared medical systems by the sheer number of those infected. Britain will remove all 11 countries from its COVID-19 travel red list from Wednesday because there is now community transmission of Omicron, Health Secretary Sajid Javid told Parliament. The British government added the Southern African countries to its red list in late November, meaning that entry was only allowed to UK citizens or residents who then must quarantine in a hotel, in a bid to slow the spread of the Omicron variant. Britain requires all inbound travelers to take either a PCR or a rapid lateral flow test, a maximum of 48 hours before departure. We end the news with the United Nations, which is ramping up relief efforts amid widespread famine in Afghanistan, appealing for $220 million each month to help feed 23 million people. The World Food Programme, or WFP, said on Tuesday. WFP Country Director Mary Ellen McGroarty said in a press release that the WFP urgently needs $220 million each month in 2022. The release said that in November, WFP assisted more than 7 million people, dispatching over 50,000 million tons of food, almost double the dispatches in September. In the preparation for the coming year, WFP began pre-positioning food in strategic locations across the northeast and central highlands of the country, where heavy winter snows can cut off communities from assistance. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
United States is trying to forge better relations with countries in the Southeast Asian region. Diplomatic efforts were made through the working visit of the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken to Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand. The visit, which was the first time since Joe Biden formed his cabinet, was certainly not without purpose. On Monday, December 13, 2021, Antony Blinken officially met and held talks with President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. The next day, on Tuesday, December 14, 2021, the U.S. Secretary of State delivered his speech at the University of Indonesia, which is a leading university in Jakarta. Antony Blinken said that his working visit to Southeast Asia was intended to strengthen cooperation and partnership to maintain the international rules-based order. Although he did not explicitly mention it, Blinken's statement is very likely intended to allude to steps taken by China, both in Southeast Asia and in the South China Sea region. In a speech in front of the University of Indonesia's academic community, the U.S. Secretary of State reiterated his government determination not to recognize China's claims to parts of the South China Sea. For China and the United States, the South China Sea is a strategic area, both geopolitically, especially for the Indo-Pacific region, as well as economically. China views the South China Sea in terms of the strategy of reviving its defense strategy and the Silk Road through the sea. The United States views the strategic position of the marine area from a defense perspective, as well as the position of international trade routes. Both China and the United States, therefore, are trying to exert their influence through countries that have an interest and still have territorial claims in the waters of the South China Sea. Regarding the attitude of Southeast Asian countries to the struggle for influence of the two big countries, namely China and the United States, of course, it will depend on the foreign policy of each country, especially those who have interest in the South China Sea. It is very possible, with regard to the interests of China and the United States, whether in terms of defense, security, or economics, in the future, there will still be escalation or an increase in tensions in the South China Sea area. For Indonesia in particular, the attitude and policy of anticipating this, of course, refers to the national interest and territorial sovereignty, as well as the free and active foreign policy that has been adhered so far.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on December 15, 1994, when Netscape Navigator was launched. Netscape Navigator is a popular web browser in 1990s and most widely used before the emergence of Internet Explorer from Microsoft, which was created by Netscape Corporation. In its day, Netscape was widely used by users because it was better than some other graphic-based web browsers at that time. In 1999, Netscape Corporation was acquired by America Online. Netscape Navigator is a web browser that is the brainchild of the Mozilla Firefox browser. Moving on to an event on December 15, 2005, when International Tea Day was celebrated for the first time. International Tea Day is celebrated annually on December 15. This celebration has been taking place since 2005 in tea-producing countries such as Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Vietnam, Indonesia, Kenya, Malawi, Malaysia, Uganda, India, and Tanzania. International Tea Day is intended to draw the attention of governments and the world community to the impact of tea trade on tea workers and farmers, and relates to price support demand and fair trade. After the initial meeting at the World Social Forum in 2004, International Tea Day was celebrated in New Delhi in 2005 and in Sri Lanka in 2006 and 2008. The celebration also featured the Global Tea Conference co-organized by the Trade Union Movement. We end today in history with an event on December 15, 2017 about Java earthquake. The 2017 Java earthquake was a magnitude 6.5 earthquake that hit Indonesia on December 15, 2017 at 11:47 p.m. Western Indonesia time on the island of Java. The epicenter was 63 km from Tasikmalaya, West Java, located on land with the epicenter around Cipatujah. Earthquake shocks were felt for about 5 to 30 seconds in most communities on the island of Java. The National Disaster Management Agency, or BNPB, stated as many as 4 people died, 36 people were injured, and more than 4,000 houses were damaged, consisting of 730 heavily damaged, more than 1,000 moderately damaged, and more than 2,000 lightly damaged in a number of affected areas. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des Covid-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Minister for Public Works and Housing Basuki Hadi Mulyono received a visit from Indonesian Ambassador for Turkey Lalu Muhammad Iqbal and representatives of Turkish companies at the Public Works and Housing Ministry Office in Jakarta on Monday. They discussed cooperation potential in infrastructure. The meeting was a follow-up for the bilateral meeting between Indonesia and Turkey back in November 2021. In the meeting, Minister Basuki also gave a good assessment for Turkey's success in building Ankara that made the Indonesian government believe that a sustainable cooperation between the two countries must be maintained and developed further. Basuki also said there are many investment potentials between Indonesia and Turkey. Moreover, some Turkish construction companies were the best global contractor that had finished 10,725 projects in 128 countries with investment value $42.5 million. Most of that investment was in housing and road, bridge, and investment construction in Europe, Asia, and the Middle East. Minister Basuki therefore encouraged Turkish investors to invest in various infrastructure sectors, both from government to business cooperation or KPBU and engineering procurement construction or EPC. Basuki further remarked he anticipated Turkey's participation in development programs in Indonesia. He hoped the meeting and the forum could strengthen Indonesia-Turkey bilateral relations so it could realize the expectation for infrastructure development in Indonesia. In a business forum with Indonesian state-owned enterprise and Public Works and Housing Ministry at the same day, the Public Works and Housing Ministry expressed the intention for a deeper discussion with Turkish delegates about prospective infrastructure investment and project in toll road and housing in Indonesia, as well as field visit to toll road projects in Pekanbaru. On the other hand, Indonesian Ambassador for Turkey, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, said currently there were two Turkish companies as a follow-up of the visit to Ankara. The first company focuses on toll road construction, while the second is the world's second biggest company for prefabricated housing. The Turkish companies had communicated with the Infrastructure Funding Director General and will visit the toll road in Sumatra to support restructuring and to invite the investors.
Stop bicara cinta jika hanya garitkan luka. Stop bicara rindu jika hadirmu tak terasa.
Perlukah ku menjauh? Biarkan kau sendiri. Sampai kau cari aku, aku baiknya semua. Kembali kita pikirkan, lanjutkah, hentikah kita. Ku bertahan karena ku ingin bertahan. Ada cinta masih tersisa untukmu, tapi tolonglah beri aku alasan yang tepat untuk tak meninggalkanmu. Aku letih berjuang sendiri. Stop. Janji aku bukan prioritasmu. Stop bicara tentang masa depan kita tak jelas. Perlukah ku menjauh? Biarkan kau sendiri. Sampai kau cari aku, aku baiknya semua. Kembali kita pikirkan, lanjutkah, hentikah kita. Aku bertahan karena ku ingin bertahan. Ada cinta masih tersisa untukmu, tapi tolonglah beri aku alasan yang tepat untuk tak meninggalkanmu. Aku letih berjuang sendiri.
Stop, 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 stop. Stop, 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 stop.
Jika hanya garitkan luka.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder is about Megalithicum Village in Millennium.
Music.
Neolithic era is a period of civilization and world history. In the eastern part of Indonesia, there is a hamlet which still looks like its original image. It is called Bena Hamlet in East Nusa Tenggara. It still has a megalithic landscape and it is maintained well. The word of Bena comes from the first original tribe which lived in the region. But there are many stories on the origin of the ancient hamlet which is predicted to have existed since 1,200 years ago. It is located on the slope of Mount Ineri as high as 2,245 meters above sea level, or precisely at Tiwu Nuwu village, Aimeri district in East Nusa Tenggara. The hamlet is longwise from north to south and known for its traditional house, Bena villagers and also their ancestors' traditions. The small hamlet which is occupied by the original tribe of the region was determined by a World Heritage Site by UNESCO. Terraced soil structures are also a beautiful part of the hamlet. At the end of the hamlet, there is a peak of the stair and there is also a gazebo which can be used for praying. The existence at the slope of the mountain is characteristic of old community of mountainous devotees as the god's place. According to residents of the hamlet, they believe in the existence of Peta, the god which lives in a mountain and protects their hamlet. Bena hamlet consists of 40 houses which surround each other. The hamlet is longwise from the north to the south and the hamlet gateway is located at the north. While at the south, there is a peak and a steep cliff edge. Generally, the livelihood of the men is farming. In addition to producing corns, tubers and beans, they also plant coffee and candlenut on Mount Aimeri. Meanwhile, women work diligently by weaving, in which their products are sold to tourists or sent to Bajawa city. The distance of Bena hamlet is around 90 kilometers from Bajawa, which is the capital city of Manado. To get there, you can use land transportation. Even though the road is good, you must be a skillful driver since the road is curvy and hilly. Bena hamlet is the tourism destination of Ngada hamlet. In fact, the hamlet is often visited by foreign tourists from Germany and Italy. At the middle of the hamlet, there are some buildings which are called Baga Ngadu by local people. The shape of Baga is similar with little huts without dwellers, while Ngadu is a building with one pole and foam fiber roof so that its shape is like a shelter. Ngadu's pole is usually made from special kind of hardwood because the pole also functions as animal sacrificial gallows when traditional parties are held. The hamlet is not touched yet by technology. Bena's building functions not only as residence but also having a deep meaning with local wisdom, and at present it's still relevant to be applied for the people in maintaining the environment. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder featuring Bena hamlet in East Nusa Tenggara province. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic.
Hanya
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about cuaca dan musim, which means weather and season. So stay tuned. Here is the conversation entitled Musim Hujan, which means rainy season. This conversation happens between Kevin and Nuni. Nuni and Kevin walk along the road in the city of Bandung. They walk while talking about weather and season. Let's listen to the conversation.
Sudah mau hujan?
Iya, sekarang musim hujan. Kalau di Australia, sekarang musim apa?
Musim dingin.
Oh ya? Ada berapa musim di Australia?
Ada 4.
Musim apa saja?
Musim panas, musim gugur, musim dingin, dan musim semi.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Sekarang musim apa? Sekarang musim apa? Which means, what season is it now? Ada berapa musim di Australia? Ada berapa musim di Australia? Which means, how many seasons are there in Australia? Empat. Empat, which means 4. Musim panas. Musim panas, which means summer. Musim gugur. Musim gugur, which means autumn. Musim dingin. Musim dingin, which means winter. Musim semi. Musim semi, which means spring. In the conversation, you hear the expression sekarang musim apa? Sekarang musim apa? Which means what season is it now? And ada berapa musim di Australia? Ada berapa musim di Australia? Which means how many seasons are there in Australia? The latter one is an expression to ask for information about season. In the expressions, there are sentences musim apa and ada berapa musim. Musim apa is a sentence to ask the types of seasons. Ada berapa musim is a sentence to ask the number of seasons. Let's listen to the other examples to ask and give information about season. Ada berapa musim di Indonesia? Ada berapa musim di Indonesia? Which means how many seasons are there in Indonesia? 2. Musim kemarau dan musim hujan. 2. Musim kemarau dan musim hujan. Which means 2. Dry season and rainy season. Musim apa di Indonesia? Musim apa di Indonesia? Which means what season is it in Indonesia? Musim kemarau. Musim kemarau. Which means dry season. Indonesia is a tropical country which has 2 seasons, namely dry season and rainy season. Dry season in Indonesia usually lasts from April to September. Meanwhile, rainy season in Indonesia usually happens between September and March. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Sudah mau hujan?
Iya, sekarang musim hujan. Kalau di Australia, sekarang musim apa?
Musim dingin.
Oh ya? Ada berapa musim di Australia?
Ada 4.
Musim apa saja?
Musim panas, musim gugur, musim dingin, dan musim semi.
listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Masa di mana kita bersama, ku buka lembar demi lembar buku ingatan kita dulu. Ku berbisik dalam benak ini, dirimu, kau yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun masa itu telah berlalu. Tak terasa tetesan air mata surat ini. Ku berharap ku sentuh dirimu, kau yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun masa itu telah berlalu.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, I would like to present a song from Manado, North Sulawesi, entitled Kota Manado Yang Kucintai on today's edition of Music Corner. The song Kota Manado Yang Kucintai tells the sense of love to Manado City, which is impossible to forget. The lyrics also narrate about the happiness and development in Manado. The song also tells about the food of Manado, sweet potato with spicy dabu-dabu, or sauce of Manado. Even eating is more enjoyable by drinking coconut water. Well, listener, here is the song Kota Manado Yang Kucintai by Melly Pandean. Happy listening!
Voice of Indonesia.
So jauh dari tak ada balaya.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.